WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
June is the big month for weddings. Commentator Maureen Corrigan says she's disappointed in one aspect of the modern marriage.
Here are the results of the bridal name change survey based on my reading of the New York Times wedding announcements page. Out of 52 announcements in a recent Sunday Times, only 6 mentioned that the bride was keeping her name. Elizabeth Loring Crane is one of those stubborn brides. She got married to William Mushkin, and their announcement told us that Ms. Crane, 28 years old, is known as Betsy. She is keeping her name. Keeping her name, what a weird phrase that is. Imagine if that announcement had read, "The groom, Mr. Mushkin, is 29 years old, and he is keeping his name." Well, of course he is, and so are the other 51 grooms. Why shouldn't they? They're getting married, not entering a witness protection program. The overwhelming majority of women whose weddings are announced in the Times are college-educated professionals. So I think that their general willingness to lose their names is pretty surprising. Sure, it's been a custom over the centuries for women to take on their new husband's last names. But that custom signifies a belief about the proper balance of power in a marriage. A woman lost her name to publicly signify the loss of her autonomy. In the 70s and 80s, lots of women challenged this traditional model of marriage by holding on to their names, or at least hyphenating them. But these are more socially conservative times. Gradually, the first half of many of those hyphenated names has eroded away. And as a one-year marriage veteran, I can tell holdouts like Betsy Crane that dry cleaners, dentists, and landlords will insist on calling her Mrs. Mushkin. My own parents, who should know better, began calling me by my husband's last name right after the ceremony ended. I gently corrected them, and now they address letters to us as Maureen Corrigan and Richard. It's like there can only be one last name per married couple. Of course, lots of women don't mind changing their names. I was at the Motor Vehicles Bureau a few weeks ago, and a woman ahead of me online was complaining about waiting an hour and a half to get a new license. She had just gotten married, she said, and she needed a license in her new name. I wonder how many other bureaucratic forms she must have already had to fill out in order to erase her old identity. To people who say, "What's the big deal about a woman changing her name?" I say, what man would change his, let alone wait in line to do it? And as for the question of what last names the kids get, well, flip a coin. What's the big deal? But feminist sentiments like these are unpopular right now, even among the young. A student of mine who's getting married soon told me that her identity is rooted in her first name, Michelle, not her last name. I thought her argument was preposterous, but maybe she's on to something. Maybe both women and men should lose their last names when they get married. We could take our cue from famous first-name-only couples like Othello and Desdemona, Babar and Celeste, Tarzan and Jane, and let's not forget the couple, Adam and Eve. Since we're living in such a backward-looking age, we may as well go all the way.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.